Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he ruled from 604 until 561 BC. During Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Babylon became the greatest cultural, commercial, and political center in the world at that time. Indeed, when Nebuchadnezzar sat on the throne of Babylon, he was the most powerful man in the world. The Bible, of course, has much to say about this king. The Word of God reveals to us that King Nebuchadnezzar besieged and captured Jerusalem, that he destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, and that he carried off most of the inhabitants of Judah to Babylon. This exile during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest tragedies ever to befall the Jews up until that point in their history. There's no doubt that Babylon was a superpower in the world during Nebuchadnezzar's reign. But this man, as we study his life as it is revealed in the Bible, was an ungodly man who made idols and worshipped them. And not only did he worship these false gods himself, but he expected all who lived in his kingdom to worship these false gods as well. When you study the life of this king, you learn very quickly that he was a proud, arrogant, and very self-centered individual. He thought and believed that his kingdom was invincible. He thought and believed that his gods were the true gods. And during most of his reign, he ruled with a rod of iron. There is no doubt that when you study the life of this king in the Bible, that he was an evil, wicked, sinful man. Some might have thought that such a proud, arrogant, and ungodly king was beyond the reach of God's mercy. But of course, they would have been wrong. Because here in Daniel chapter 4, we read about the God of heaven showing mercy to King Nebuchadnezzar. Here in this chapter, we read about the conversion of this wicked, ungodly king. And very simply tonight, at the end of this gospel service, I want you to consider with me God's mercy to King Nebuchadnezzar. And if you're found in the meeting and you're not saved, again tonight, I want you to listen very carefully, because the Lord wants to show his mercy to you. And if God is able to save such a man like Nebuchadnezzar, then he's able to save your soul tonight. Indeed, the Bible tells us that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer for you tonight is that you will not only hear God's word, but that you might come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Now, how did God show his mercy to King Nebuchadnezzar? Well, when you study this chapter and this portion of scripture which we have read, you discover here that God's mercy was demonstrated towards King Nebuchadnezzar in three ways. First of all, I want you to notice that God showed his mercy towards Nebuchadnezzar by speaking to him. God spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar through a dream. Take a look at what it says in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 4. And you read these words: "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me." Here we have Nebuchadnezzar's own testimony. And he testifies here of having a dream. And in this dream, God speaks to him. And the interesting fact here, as you read this chapter, is this: that God used Daniel to interpret this dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel, of course, was the servant of God, the child of God. And when Daniel gave the interpretation, What he was actually doing was revealing to Nebuchadnezzar God's word to him. You see, God, through the dream, was speaking personally to this ungodly king. What God was saying in the dream to the king was not very pleasant, because God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that he and his kingdom were going to be brought down by a great enemy, and that the king was going to suffer great humiliation personally. The king would be brought to live among the beasts of the field, and that he would eat the very grass that the beasts of the field would eat. And all that God revealed to the king in this dream came to pass. Now, we haven't got the time to read all these verses and to consider all of this chapter tonight. But I want you to take the time when you go home to read the entire chapter. And you will read about the dream. And you will read about the interpretation of the dream. But the thing I want to point out to you tonight is this, that God in this dream revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what he was going to do, and what God revealed came to pass. Look at verse 28 of Daniel chapter 4. It says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And compare that to verse 33. Look at verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Men and women, the point that I want to make is this. God did not have to speak to this ungodly king. God did not have to show his mercy towards Nebuchadnezzar in this way. God did not have to reveal what he was going to do through his word to this wicked, ungodly man. But he did. And in doing so, God was merciful to him. God could have left Nebuchadnezzar in ignorance. And God could have left him in his sin. But he did not. Here we have the Lord showing mercy to King Nebuchadnezzar, because God spoke to him. And not only did God speak to him, but the man of God, Daniel, interpreted the dream and revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what exactly God was going to do. Not only to his nation, but to him personally. And that was mercy. You know, one of the greatest mercies that God has given to sinners is his word. And of course, God speaks to sinners through his word. And as God speaks to sinners through his word, God reveals to sinners their need. What a mercy. The Bible says it is the entrance of God's word that giveth light. God's word is the Bible. The message of the Bible may not always be pleasant, but it is always the truth. And thank God we have before us tonight God's precious word. My friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I want you to realize that the Bible is the word of God. And the Bible has a message for you. And as we have already said, it may not all be a pleasant message, because it's not a pleasant message to hear about hell and about judgment and about the wrath of God. And this Bible tells us clearly that if men and women reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, then they will receive the judgment of God, and hell will be their portion. But thank God this Bible also tells us about the love of God and the mercy of God to sinners. And thank God the Bible reveals how men and women can be saved and have everlasting life. I wonder this evening, has the Lord been speaking to you through his precious word? As you've come to these meetings, as you've sat under the sound of the gospel, as you've listened intensely to God's word as it has gone forth, has the Lord been speaking to you? I believe he has been speaking to you, because the Lord speaks through his word. And as the Lord has spoken to you, he has revealed unto you your need of salvation. He has revealed unto you that in your present state, You cannot meet God without receiving the judgment of God. In your present state, you cannot meet God without receiving the wrath of God. But as you have listened to God's word, the Lord has revealed to you how you can be saved and how you can have everlasting life. And He has revealed to you that life eternal is found only in His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And is not the message of the gospel? Thank God the Savior died and shed His precious blood upon the cross. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this night you're found in this gospel meeting. You're not saved. You're still on the broad road to a lost eternity. You're still in your sins. And yet God is being merciful to you. Because again He is speaking to you through His word. And this night the Lord Jesus Christ would say to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God's mercy is demonstrated to sinners when He speaks to them. But notice something else here in Daniel chapter 4. Notice secondly that God showed His mercy to Nebuchadnezzar by sparing him. God could have taken King Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed him. He could have taken his life from him there and then. The king would have deserved that because of his sin. But the Lord spared him. Even when God spoke to him through the dream, God promised Nebuchadnezzar not only that He would restore his kingdom after it had fallen, but God also promised the king that He would bring him back again to the throne. And of course, that's what happened. Take a look there at verse 36. It says, "At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." There we see the mercy of God towards Nebuchadnezzar. What mercy God showed towards this king by sparing his life. God could have cut him off there and then, and justly so, because as we have already mentioned, this king was ungodly, and in his early days he had no time for the God of heaven or for the servants of the Lord. He deserved the judgment of God. He deserved the wrath of God. But here in this chapter, we see that God is being merciful to him. And the Lord spared his life. And of course, if you study the life of Nebuchadnezzar, you will discover that the Lord spared his life on many occasions when he deserved nothing but judgment to fall upon him. Indeed, even when this wicked king was resisting and fighting against God, the Lord in mercy spared his life. You know, sinner, how many times has God spared your life, even in the midst of your willful sinning and resisting God's will? God has been merciful to you. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 103 verse 8? It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." Sinner, the only thing that is keeping you out of hell tonight is the mercy of God. Just think about that for a moment. If you were to this night continue to reject God's mercy, you need to be very careful, because someday God's mercy could be withdrawn from you. But how sad that would be. You know, the Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And yet here you are tonight again under the sound of the gospel. And thank God this evening, the Lord tonight is willing to save you and to redeem you. And He's willing to give you everlasting life. And yet, as you sit in God's house tonight, you're still found in your sin. And yet, The Lord is still spurring you. He's still showing His mercy towards you. We're all familiar, no doubt, with the story of Noah and the ark. In the days of Noah, before the flood came, God showed His mercy to that generation. We read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 these words. It says, "The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing." And of course, we all know that for 120 years, Noah preached to that generation and he warned them that the flood was coming. God was merciful to them. God spoke to them. God spurred them for 120 years to hear His word. And God has been merciful to you up until this moment in your life. You have heard the gospel. You've heard your need of salvation. And yet you keep on rejecting and resisting the striving of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, my friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God says in His word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And that's why we urge upon you tonight to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The truth is that God's mercy will not always be there for you. God's grace will not always be there for you. And the sad thing is this, that if you were to be cut off tonight in your sin, you'd be lost forever and forever and forever. But notice something else here in Daniel chapter 4 about God's mercy towards Nebuchadnezzar. God showed His mercy towards Nebuchadnezzar not only by speaking to him and by spurring him when he could have judged him there and then, but God showed His mercy towards Nebuchadnezzar by saving him. This wicked king of Babylon received God's salvation. I've already emphasized that Daniel chapter 4, in this chapter, we have Nebuchadnezzar's own testimony. You see, the king of Babylon is telling us here how he got saved, how he met the God of heaven, and how the God of heaven showed mercy to him. Look at verse 1 of Daniel chapter 4. "Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people," so he's speaking, "unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought," he's speaking, he's giving his testimony, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought towards me." Underline that. "How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid." And as he gives his testimony here, Nebuchadnezzar tells us about the moment, about the time when he turned to the Lord in repentance and received God's wonderful salvation. And I believe we can pinpoint that moment to verse 34. Take a look at what it says in verse 34. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation." And look at verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgments, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase." What a testimony we have here. What a conversion we have here. Oh, God had to bring this man low. And we have seen that in other conversions that we have studied over these past weeks, how God brought proud men low in order to save them and in order that they would repent of their sin and turn to the Lord. And again, we're seeing it tonight. As King Nebuchadnezzar relates his testimony in this chapter, He praises the God of heaven. He acknowledges that the God of heaven is sovereign alone, and that only His kingdom is everlasting. He testifies that the God of heaven is the only true God and His Savior. Oh, here we have the Lord showing mercy towards this man and saving his precious, never dying soul. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight, do you realize that the Lord is being merciful to you? He's speaking to you through His Word. He has spurred you up until this time in your life. Although you have resisted the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life, although you have rejected Christ up until this moment, although you have continued in your sin, do you not realize that the Lord wants to save you and to forgive you for your sin and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Sinner, the God of heaven wants to save your soul this evening, and He will do that tonight because of what His only begotten Son has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Thank God, because the Lord Jesus has laid down His life upon the cross and shed His precious blood, you can be saved not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. I wonder this evening at the close of this meeting, is there someone here and the Lord has been speaking to you and you do want to be saved deep down in your heart as you've come to these meetings and listened to the message of the gospel? You've realized your need to have your sins forgiven. You've realized your need of God's redemption. And tonight you're going to bow at the foot of the cross by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Oh, my friend, I pray that you will come to the Savior tonight. You need your soul saved because you have a soul that is immortal, a soul that will never stop existing. And although someday your body will die and be put into Mother Earth, that soul of yours will continue to exist either in God's heaven or God's hell. That's why you need your soul saved tonight. My friend, your soul will not be saved until you turn in repentance to the Lord. That's what's happening here in Daniel chapter 4. That's what Nebuchadnezzar's doing here at the end of this chapter. He's relating unto us concerning the moment when he recognized that he was the sinner, that God was the Savior, and that he needed the mercy of God more than anything else. Thank God, that day when he turned to the Lord in repentance, he received the mercy of God. My friend, you can receive the mercy of God this evening, this very night, as you sit in this gospel service. Thank God, you may have come into this meeting in your sin on your way to hell, knowing nothing of God's grace in your life, but you can leave this meeting tonight with your sins forgiven, knowing that you're on your way to heaven. And that's the wonderful blessing of God's salvation. And you can see here, as you read Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, you can see here the assurance and the confidence that he had in the God of heaven. My friend, you need to have that assurance and that confidence in the God of heaven tonight. You need to have that assurance and that confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's why we exhort you tonight to turn from your sin and to seek the Lord and to call upon Him while He is near. Because tomorrow may be too late. There comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of men that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And remember this, the mercy that you're receiving today, that mercy might not be there tomorrow. That mercy might not be there tomorrow. And that's why the Bible exhorts sinners to
to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Seek the Lord while he can be found. And this night, if the Lord is speaking to you, and I believe he is, this night the Lord is spurring your life to hear this message. There's no doubt about that because you're here. But listen, the Lord wants to save you. Oh, be saved, his grace is free. Oh, be saved, he died for thee. Thank God, this night, you can leave this church with all your sins forgiven, knowing that you have been redeemed for time and for eternity. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, that you're able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee. O God, we pray tonight that men and women, young people, might realize their great need of God's salvation. We pray, Lord, that they might turn from their sin, like Nebuchadnezzar, that they might recognize that there's only one sovereign God, and that's the God of heaven. That's the King of heaven. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of heaven, for he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank thee that he's the only Savior and the only Redeemer. O God, I pray tonight that you would reach down and pluck brands from the burning. And even tonight, Lord, that you would save the lost and redeem those in this meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.